We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dottillo along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line from Fox Sports, she covers the NFL, also the NBA, Jen Hale. Jen, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me. I love coming on with you.
Thanks so much, Jen. You and I have had, let's just say, than a few conversations throughout the years. But, boy, you hit the tail on this one. You pinned the donkey when you made the comment, Joe Dumars will make a very quick impact on this basketball team with the Pelicans. The last time we had you on, and has he. Now, if all of them work out, well, remains to be seen. But you were dead on right about Dumars. He wasn't going to wait around, and this wasn't, well, I will take a look and see what I got. He's making moves, and I think there's still some moves to be made.
No doubt about it, Mike. He is wasting no time putting his stamp on this team. He came in guns blazing. That's just his personality. That's who he is, and he was ready to, quote-unquote, right the wrongs. The trades and the picks, let's start with the picks. I like the talent. I like Queen and Fears. My question is the fit, and especially for Queen, was he worth next year's first-round draft pick? Because next year's draft is really good, really deep. So it remains to be seen how this all pays off, how this all works out. Again, I'm concerned about the fit for both of those players. I guess with DeJounte Murray out, at least to start the season, Fears is certainly going to have more opportunity. But after that, it seems like you got a really heavy front court, and then you got a lot of competition at guard, especially with bringing Jordan Poole in. So there is going to be a lot to unpack for the Pelicans, a lot to see how it all sorts out once the season tips off. And how exciting, you know, we've got the preseason schedule now, and we've got the summer league schedule. It's going to be something to watch for sure.
Jen, this is almost becoming Golden State South. Okay, they signed Kevon Looney. They get Jordan Poole. You covered the league, and you understand with Looney, he's being brought in sort of as the number two center. We know that, you know, Mise has that title. He's the guy. But to give some quality minutes off the bench, to be that leader, and you've talked so much about the leadership that C.J. McCollum had on this team that's now gone, and who becomes that leader? Who becomes the guy here on the court and off the court for him? And also with Jordan Poole, who at times is flashing. Now, when you're with the Wizards, things ain't going real well there. So no. You understand why he struggled some early on. But your thoughts on Poole and Looney and having a little bit of that Golden State aura sort of with them hitting New Orleans?
Well, you can't beat that, right? It's undeniable what Steve Kerr has done out there. It's fantastic. That championship mindset, that championship tradition, that not quitting, that grit. Yes, it's a crowded front court now, but I love the Kevon Looney pickup signing for several reasons. Three-time NBA champion. That's a pedigree very few teams can claim they have. And he's also a guy, Mike, Charlie, he's started. He has played from the bench. He has no ego. He's a total team player. He's going to do what it takes. He averages about 5 minutes in the regular season, but 11 minutes in the playoffs, in the postseason. So I love that he has that postseason experience and that postseason, the moment's not too big for him, right? He's a proven performer in those clutch performances. He'll do your dirty work. He'll clean up around the rim. He's going to be a tone setter for this locker room, and it's exactly what they need. And I love that that's the direction Dumars is going, as opposed to, let's say, a Lakers-type mentality or locker room. I think Poole and Looney are going to do a great job raising these young ones right, so to speak, setting a good tone for them. And I think that Looney is going to be a great safety net as well, because, like I said, he does have starting experience. He can step in and for a few games get you through here and there. And hopefully that'll give Queen plenty of time to develop why Mise carries the load this year and builds off that really promising rookie season.
Jen, I really didn't understand the negativity from a lot of national media about the Kevon Looney signing. It's $8 million average annual value for 2 years, and it's a rotational piece. And I want to get your thoughts because now we have the official news that DeAndre Ayton signed with the Lakers. Shams Charania put that out there. Last night there was the reports that they were calling and asking about Eve Misi from the Pelicans, and Steve and I were joking, like, if Joe gets that call, just hang up the phone with Rob Pelinka. We don't want to lose Eve Misi after that incredible rookie campaign that he had in. And as I had mentioned with Kevon Looney, just being a rotational piece, because you know what you have in Misi. You hit a slam dunk with that last year with the 21st overall pick and what he was able to contribute in his rookie year. And really the ceiling for him, like moving forward, you're just expecting continued development from a very bright young kid that's already shown that he can play at the NBA level.
Well, that's why there's interest in him. Absolutely. I think the Looney pickup drew some question marks, some raised eyebrows. One, it was kind of the last money the Pelicans had. Now they're hitting the cap. So this is probably going to certainly not hamstring them, but this is their last big expenditure, I would think, for right now. And then secondly, because of the Derek Queen trade, I think a lot of people were saying, if you were going to go sign Kevon Looney, why did you give away next year's first-round draft pick? Why did you trade up to get Queen? I think that's where the pause comes in, because Looney, obviously, we just talked about all of his accolades. And look, he's been in the league 10 years, 29 years old. He still has a lot of gas in that tank, so to speak. And he's a guy who takes care of his body, does things the right way, will play a long time. I don't think it's necessarily a fit thing or anything against Kevon Looney. I think it's just, if the Queen trade hadn't happened on draft night, if the Pelicans hadn't moved up and given that first rounder next year to the Hawks, I think the Kevon Looney signing would have been much more celebrated by critics across the country.
Jen, I think bottom line is, and how things fit, because I think smart players, they understand how to work as a team together quickly. And so fit is always going to be a question. But I think if you bring in smart players, I think they can adjust. This season boils down to one thing in particular. Got to keep Zion healthy. Because we've seen it when he is healthy, how good this Pelicans team is. And they got a lot of people, well, it's a team game. Okay, we're not playing golf or tennis here. Okay, everything else is a team game, but it's a difference when he's out on the court. That would be like me saying, oh, the Chiefs, they're the same without Patrick Mahomes. Come on, be real. That's not the case. This all boils down to Zion taking care of his body better and being able to stay in shape and focus for the entire year.
No doubt about it. And let's hope, certainly, that Dumars can do a better job keeping Zion focused than David Griffin. Under the Griffin regime, Zion pretty much had free reign, carte blanche to do what he wanted. We saw that with skipping shoot-arounds, showing up to the arena, you know, 20 minutes before the game starts, not doing the team warm-ups with his teammates. Dumars is at least saying he's not going to put up with that. Zion needs to make different decisions. He will make different decisions. It's tough to put a genie back in the bottle, so we'll see how that goes. How does he respond? I do think there is a decent chance Zion responds well, because I don't think he's a – I still refer to him as a kid, and I shouldn't. He's so grown up now. But he's not a diva type of man necessarily. But I think if you give him too much leash, he'll take it type of a thing. So can Dumars pull that back a little and keep him focused and in the right mindset? And then, Mike, to your point about fit, I'm very curious to see how, you know, can Zion and Queen, can they share the floor at all together? Because neither one are really great perimeter shooters. In general, we haven't seen a ton of defense from Zion protecting the paint. Will Queen be able to rise to that occasion? I think that's also some of the pause that folks nationally are looking at, is how would these two ever work together? And will Queen be ready to come in and relieve Zion at all anytime soon?
Jen, anybody who's had kids or grandkids know, if you give them a long enough leash, they're going to take it. Every exactly. link of it. And so, yeah, you get it, that even though they may not be a bad kid, they're going to push you to the limit on what they can get away with and what they can't get away with. So it'll be an interesting situation with the kind of dichotomy between Joe Dumars. He was all business when he played, all business, 24/7. I'll throw this to the NFL. So many people looking at the AFC, it's sort of wide open. Because of the fact, you know, you have Baltimore with Lamar Jackson. You wonder, is this going to be their year? The Chiefs, certainly with Mahomes, are always going to be there. Buffalo, Josh Allen, and that defense, they're going to be in the hunt also. But in the NFC, very few people take a look at this and say, I see a team out there that's really as good as the Eagles. You maybe thought the Lions were, and then they lose. They're both offensive, defensive coordinator, and then you lose your starting center and Frank Ragnow, who was really, really good. He was one of the best centers in pro football. Rams, player for player, it's not a series, so you could beat him in a one-game type situation. You almost did in that snow out in Philly. But the Eagles seem to me to be the clear cut in the NFC. You can't say that in the AFC because there's a wide range of opinions on exactly kind of how that's going to kind of curtail itself with so many people kind of different sided on Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore.
I think you're absolutely right, Mike. My caveat, my asterisk to that would be I want to see what the 49ers look like this year. They were so decimated by injuries last year. If there's somebody that can right the ship and really give the Eagles a run for their money, that's where my betting chips would be. Christian McCaffrey says he's going to be back better than ever. And if any player can do it, it's Christian McCaffrey. Usually running backs at that age, that type of injury, they're going to be on the downhill slide. But CMC could be one who overcomes that. I love Kyle Shanahan's mind, his brain, his scheme, and, of course, you know, I'm a huge fan of John Lynch after working with him as a broadcast partner. So I certainly think the Eagles start in the driver's seat, doesn't the reigning Super Bowl champion usually. But I'm curious to see what the 49ers look like when they come out. And look, as far as the Lions go, yeah, that Ragnow injury and absence is going to be a huge hurdle for them to overcome. But Dan Campbell has done it time and again, and he loves nothing more than that underdog role that, you know, we're being disrespected. That's how he motivates his team, his emotion. So although obviously he's not happy about what happened with Ragnow, he's a coach who can use it to his benefit with his team.
Jen, before we let you run, I wanted to ask you, there's reports that the Pelicans are interested in Golden State forward Jonathan Kuminga. Goes back to what Mike was saying earlier about Golden State South with already Jordan Poole and Kevon Looney in hand. And I want to get your thoughts on it because I think it's fascinating for a couple different reasons. It would have to be a sign and trade, you know, the contract that he would have to get extended in New Orleans if they do pull off that move. Your thoughts first on the interest in Jonathan Kuminga and then what it would potentially cost to do a sign and trade.
That would be the problem. Like I said, with the Looney signing, they don't have much more wiggle room financially. I would love a Kuminga-type presence in New Orleans simply because, again, reinforcing that championship culture, reinforcing that discipline. I don't think Zion is going to be that locker room leader, but I do think he will follow where everybody's going. And a Kuminga, a Looney, a Poole, they're going to set a tone of, hey, we're going to be in here early. We're going to work out. We're going to do this right. And I think Zion would get excited and get behind that. I worry a little bit about is Dumars leveraging way too much of the future. He's almost, to me, in a win now type mindset. And he's got some time, right? He's brand new. It was an abysmal season, potentially the worst season the Pels have ever had, depending on what metric you'd like to point to. I just hope that it's not an overreaction and an overcommittal of resources right away, an overreaching effect, because he does have a little bit of time. Although certainly you want to come in with a bang. You want to debut a superior product as soon as you can. But I hope he doesn't press too hard, spend too much, commit too much down the road. We've seen what that's doing to the Saints right now, how they're trying to come out of their kicking the can down the road situation. And it's tough. It's tough. That's for sure. So what can you get Kuminga for? I would be very interested. If you can get him for a decent amount, you know, he only played in 47 games last year, so I don't know that I would be all my chips in type of a thing on him. However, the 47 he did play in, boy, he stepped up for Steph when Steph was out and injured. So if the price is right, absolutely do it. But don't leverage too much of your future because, boy, you've invested a lot of future capital already for this season coming up.
Jen, I'll let you go, but I'll throw this in. If you get NFC North games this year, you're in good shape because I have not.
Yes, I am.
Okay, great then. I have not seen this sort of tanglement of talent that is all real close and very good. You got to go back to the 80s, you know, when Dallas with Jimmy Johnson, the Eagles had Buddy Ryan and that group, and the Giants with Bill Parcells. They were really, really tough. And you look at the NFC North, and you see what's happened in Detroit and how well Minnesota played last year. Now you got a young quarterback in J.J. McCarthy. Green Bay is a sort of a sleeper team that I think is loaded, and they could well be that one team that makes that run late, and then the Bears. How well Caleb Williams can come around. We have not seen this since, 80s, 90s. Joe Gibbs was in Washington at that time, too. So the accumulation of talent in one division, we haven't seen that in a long time like we're seeing it in the North.
I agree. If I had to point to something, it would be that NFC West, 8 years ago when you had the strength of the 49ers, the Rams, the Seahawks. The NFC North is so much fun. The black and blue division, the rivalries are so intense, and you've got so many great storylines as well. I like what Caleb Williams is doing. He's saying all the right things. He's doing all the right things, supposedly, in this year two under Ben Johnson. How much success can they actually have when the pads go on and you're going up against other people? At my first preseason game, I'll actually have the Lions.
Oh,
so
okay.
Always enjoy watching Dan Campbell and seeing what he can produce. So I will report back on the NFC North. Absolutely.
Thanks a lot, Jen. I appreciate it. Always great insights. So appreciate you coming on with us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me. Always a blast.
Thanks, Jen. Appreciate it. Jen Hale from Fox Sports covering both the NFL and the NBA.